Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Heavenly Father, thank you, sir. We give you praise and honor. You are our Father, and you are the rock of our salvation. And no enemy shall take us down. Because of you, because of your grace, because of your mercy, your goodness, and most of all, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Glory to God. You are our Lord, and we're thrilled. Amen.
Amen.
Help me today in welcoming Rabbi Jonathan Kahn to this broadcast.
Great to be here.
My, this has been so wonderful. Let's don't even talk. Get us right back in here. I'm so thrilled over all this. The more it goes in my spirit, it's just going off like this, you know, just go from one place of the word to the other. It is so exciting.
Yeah, yeah. What happens between shows should be on the show too.
Yeah.
This is all that's happening. Well, for those just to bring up to speed, here's the thing. Ancient Israel, it is the 700s BC. God warns them. They're away from God. God warns them, gives them signs, gives them harbingers, and these are the nine harbingers of warning. They reject them, and the thing is, the same harbingers are now reappearing in America. And what we have seen step by step, we saw the breach, we saw the sign of the terrorist, we saw the harbinger of the fallen bricks, the fallen buildings, the harbinger of the tower, the harbinger of the Gazit stone, the stone of judgment. Then the harbinger of the sycamore, the fallen sycamore, and then the Erez tree, the tree of judgment. So that's where we are. Now, what happens next is even, to me, more eerie because we were sharing before, when I was standing at Ground Zero and the Lord first started speaking to me about this, and I was immediately led to Isaiah 9:10, having no idea what was going to come, had no idea. But what happens, I'm seeing all the harbingers of Isaiah 9:10, and then one day I am typing into my computer Isaiah 9:10, I'm expecting to get the scripture. Instead of getting the scripture, it brings me to the annals of Congress. And all of a sudden, for the first time, I'm blown away. I remember telling my wife, I said, you won't believe what this is. That Isaiah 9:10 is not something just here, it is something that God caused to fall upon the nation. It starts out in the scripture, it says, God says, it says, the Lord sends a word, and that word falls upon Israel, and all the nations shall know it. So here's what we're gonna see now. One of the signs, the eighth harbinger in the book, is the sign of the utterance. And the thing is, in the last days of Israel, the leaders of Israel had to have made this vow, and I'll read it just for those who don't know.
Sure.
In Isaiah 9:10 says, after this attack, they respond with defiance. They say this. They said, the bricks are fallen down, but we will rebuild with hewn stone. The sycamores have been cut down, but we will plant cedars in their place. So here is the vow they made that brought judgment. But it had to be, the leaders had to have said this because a leader is one who speaks for the nation.
Mm-hmm. You know,
the leader is the one who charts the course of the nation. So if the people said it, that's fine. But the leader had to say it for this to be representing the nation. So it means in the capital city of Samaria, that's where they were in the Northern Kingdom, the leaders had to have made it publicly, public statement in the capital. And it even talks about Samaria in the beginning. It mentions about those, it says, the inhabitants of Samaria, capital city, that say, and the nation, that say in pride and arrogance of heart. So they say it. So lead it. And then when they said it, they're trying to say, this is a good thing. We're coming back. But God is saying through Isaiah, no, no, no. You're spoken a word that is against God. This is a judgment on you by pronouncing it, uttering the power of what they, saying this vow is going to bring judgment. So now here's the question. Could this harbinger, because this would mean a leader, an American leader, giving utterance to this vow of defiance and judgment in the capital city, could this have happened in America? Now, the thing is that for any politician to speak judgment, I mean, to speak a vow, I mean, crazy. I mean, anybody running for office, who in their right mind is going to do this? And especially not someone running for office. But here's what happens, Brother Copeland. 3 years after 9/11, on the anniversary of 9/11, so it's all about this context, a man gets up in Washington. He is running for vice president. He's a famous senator. John Edwards, gets up before a congressional caucus and he speaks about 9/11. And at the beginning, as he opens up, he says, "We have this word now for us now." And then out of his mouth, out of the mouth of John Edwards, he says, "The bricks have fallen, but we will rebuild with hewn stone. The sycamores have been cut down, but we will plant cedars in their place." He's actually uttering this vow of judgment, defiance, destruction, and he doesn't know what he's doing. He has no idea. Out of 30,000 verses in the Bible, he goes to this one, which most even believers didn't even know this verse. It's an obscure verse.
No, it's obscure.
Nobody, and yet this is what the leaders of ancient Israel did. Now here's a leader of America. It's like replaying the drama, the you talk about the power of the word, replaying this exactly without knowing. He says it. And so by doing so, without knowing, he's identifying America now is in this context. He's speaking about 9/11, and he doesn't even realize this verse is specifically about the strike that comes as a warning from God of a nation that is in danger of judgment. He doesn't know it, but he's linking it together. He's linking America as a nation that has known God, but now is falling from God in danger of judgment. And he's doing it on 9/11. He doesn't know about the harbingers. He doesn't know about the bricks. He doesn't know about the tree. He doesn't know, but he's saying
it. He just picked a verse to say what he wanted to say.
Without having, talk about context, having no idea of context, he says it, and not only that, but he builds his entire speech, the entire speech, on Isaiah 9:10. The entire speech, he goes on to say, we're going to talk about the sycamores. He said, where those sycamores fell, he doesn't realize that actually there was one. He says, where the sycamores fell, we will plant cedars, we will plant the arrow tree. He doesn't realize it's happened. He says that where the bricks fell, we're going to plant the hewn stone. He doesn't realize it's happened, but he's saying it all. The whole speech is Isaiah 9:10. Someone can read it. The entire speech is that. Now, how does that happen? Now, the amazing thing is, you know, when you look at in the New Testament, it has a time when Caiaphas actually says something, and he doesn't realize what he said.
He didn't realize what he was saying.
Has no idea, but it says he did not say it of his own. He said he's basically plotting murder. And he says, you know, it's necessary that one man dies plotting murder, that the whole nation won't perish. Well, what John says in writing this by the Spirit says he didn't say it of his own. He didn't know what he was saying. He said it was actually by the Spirit. The Spirit was saying one man will die though the nation can be saved, but he didn't know it. So there's a double thing going on. He's saying it, what he's thinking, but God is doing something prophetic at the same time.
Yeah.
And what it says, it says that he did it because he held that office. It was the office of high priest.
He did, didn't he? That's
the
why
office.
He did. That's why he did.
And it's the high priest who actually
It actually offered, made it official between, between heaven and earth.
He's representing the nation.
Yes,
he's
sir.
Speaking for the nation, and the high priest would actually be the one who would offer up the sacrifice. So even that's part of it too. So here it is, example of unwitting prophecy, where he says it, and it's by inspiration, but it's not the regular way. It's in spite of himself. It's a judgment thing, but God does that too. So now you have John Edwards, who is a leader in the nation, who is a senator, who is running for, he's speaking, and what comes out of his mouth, he means it one way, but God is meaning it another way. He means it, hey, look, everybody, we're coming back, which is exactly what the leaders of ancient Israel did. But it's a prophetic statement said, which is saying, it's linking everything together, saying, it's like, say, wake up, people. Isaiah 9:10, God is warning, it's all happened. So here this happens, he still has no idea what he said. It's said in the capital city, but that's not all. Because the ninth harbinger in the book is the prophecy. And that is that somebody, not only did a leader have to say this, but a leader had to have said it right after the event, because he's speaking about what we will now do. This is what we're going to do. He's speaking, we're going to rebuild, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. That's what we're going to do. And then it gets recorded by Isaiah, so doubly it becomes prophecy, because it's in the prophetic word. It's in the prophetic record, the annals of the nation, where Isaiah is saying, this is not a prophecy of coming back, this is a prophecy of judgment. So you have all, it becomes a prophecy. One, that it's spoken right after the event, this is what we're going to do, and they did it. And two, that it becomes, from the record of Isaiah, becomes a prophecy. Now, could somebody have spoken this right after the event, also from the capital city a leader. Well, here is what happens. And most of us missed it at the time, but it's really mind-boggling. What happens is the entire nation or the leaders gather on Capitol Hill day after 9/11. This is September 12th, day after 9/11. They gather on Capitol Hill to give literally America's response to what happened. So this is like prophetic. It's going to be America's response. The man who's appointed to do that is the leader of the Senate. Now, the Senate, it represents the states, the nations. He's representing the Senate. So like the high priest, he is literally representing America. So he is the Senate Majority Leader, Tom Daschle. And he is there and he goes up to the podium to give the nation's response at this moment. He can say anything he wants. He gives the response, presents it, and then gives a speech. At the end of his speech, as he reaches the crescendo of his speech, comes to the point, he says this. This is before every member of Congress. He says, there is a passage from Isaiah that speaks to all of us at times like this. So here, he's about what he's referring to. Then out of his mouth, from the floor of the House of Representatives, every senator, every member of Congress, 9/11, day after, says, the bricks have fallen, but we will rebuild with dressed stone. Then he speaks about the tree. He's naming the harbingers. Every member of Congress is hearing it. He's saying it from Capitol Hill. It's America. He's speaking for the nation, as these did. And he speaks about the tree that struck down. He doesn't realize there is a literal tree that's just being discovered that day in the ruins of Ground Zero. He speaks about the stone that's going to go up. That we're going to put this, he doesn't realize this is prophecy. It's going to happen. It's going to happen 3 years later after he says it. They're going to put that Gazit stone, that hewn stone on where the bricks have fallen. He said it then. And then he speaks about replacing the one tree with the other, the Erez tree. It's going to happen 2 years later. He has no idea, but he's speaking prophetically without realizing it. So, and this is recorded in the annals of Congress.
Yes, sir.
This is the action that the response that America had through its leaders on the day after 9/11 was the exact same ancient words that were the response of ancient Israel after its attack that brought judgment. And so here he is identifying America as the nation in danger. And you talk about God speaking clearly. This went out to the entire nation and the world, Isaiah 9:10. And he identifies it. And it's the words that the leader spoke that invoked judgment on the nation. Many of us, we were talking before, when we watched what happened after 9/11, we were thinking, okay, maybe there could be revival right now because people are flocking to churches. If we were there, if we realized what was being spoken on Capitol Hill, we would know there wasn't revival then. That there could be now, there could be coming, we believe for that. But back then, what it was saying is that the nation right now is going to go defiant, is going to go farther from God. And at the end of his speech, that's almost the end, Daschle says, that is what we will do. He's referring to Isaiah 9:10. He literally is referring to, he says, in other words, he doesn't realize he's saying that, we're going to do what ancient Israel did, which was defy God and go farther from
word
God.
Word for word.
Word for word. Yeah. I mean, he's referring to Isaiah 9:10. He still, to this day, I don't know if he knows what he did or what he said, but it was prophetic. And so it would happen. And it's going to lead the stage for the next shakings and the further apostasy, defiance of America, that's leading to where we are now. But it was all spoken then on Capitol Hill.
Oh, my.
And, I mean, if that's not enough, and this is technically what I'm going to share now. Well, this happened after. We're going to go to the President of the United States himself, the President who represents the nation as the President. The first speech that Obama gave to a joint session of Congress, first major speech, was right after he was inaugurated, went to Congress about the crisis, which in the Harbinger is the second shaking and also brings the Shemitah into it. We won't go into now, but he goes to Congress and he gives a speech. Now, Brother Copeland, interesting thing, one of the things in the Word is that when God gives a prophecy, he often gives, you'll find a prophetic address. In other words, in the beginning, it's telling you very often who this is for, where it's going, what it's about. You find it in Isaiah 9:10. Before Isaiah 9:10, God says, it says, this is a word going forth to Samaria, going forth mm-hmm. to this. It mm-hmm. gives the prophetic address, the people who say with arrogance, and then it goes on. Well, the interesting thing is every time this phenomenon happens, that this warning of judgment scripture comes out to America, there's always a prophetic address before it. In other words, saying this is from God, this is for now. I'll give you an example. The Tom Daschle, you know, when he speaks it, what does he say before he says it? He says, there is a passage from Isaiah that speaks to us, America, at times like this now, but it means times of judgment. So here he's identifying, you know, the thing here says, the word goes forth and all the people will hear it, or all the people will know it. Well, here it's saying this is to all America. That's before he says it. John Edwards, before he says it, he says, you know, at this time, September 11th anniversary, we have this word, we America have this word from God to bring us through. Well, he's identifying America and this is from God, okay? Now Obama goes to the Congress and he gives a speech about how we're gonna come back stronger, basically. Well, that's the point. If you had to take Isaiah 9:10, and if you read the commentaries, they do this, put it into regular American English, aside from, you know, you have sycamores and everything, put it, distill it together, it's this. Number one, we will rebuild and we will come back stronger. That's what it's saying. And then all the commentaries say it. Well, Obama goes there, and then as he gets in his speech, he says, you know, this has happened and the economy, this is. But tonight, here's the prophetic address to indicate, to alert you. Alerts. I want every American to know this. This is now for every American to know this word. What does he say? We will rebuild. We will, America, the United States of America, will come back stronger than before. This is the paraphrase of Isaiah 9:10, and including the key verse, we will rebuild. He says it. Now, Brother Colby, if you were on the computer, which I was, you know, and you typed in, we will rebuild, that's all you did, it would lead you to Isaiah 9:10. Just those three words would take you on the first page of when it tells you what's out there, would be Isaiah 9:10, would be this prophecy. We will rebuild. That's how key this is. But after the president spoke, if you type that in again, what happened was across the world, the president's words, we will rebuild for America, replaced Isaiah 9:10. It took the place of Isaiah 9:10 on the internet. If you type that in, it literally, now it was Obama's We Will Rebuild that replaced the leaders of ancient Israel's We Will Rebuild all over the world. All over the world, all across the world, the headlines read, I mean, you can see it, Obama vows, we will rebuild. Obama, we will rebuild all across the world. That's what they took out of the speech, Isaiah 9:10, out of the whole speech. And we will come back stronger. But it literally, I mean, talk about the ancient and talk about the modern and the same God. Literally, the words not only went across America, went across the world, and literally, the leader of America's vow of defiance replaced the words of ancient Israel, their leaders, word for word, word for word.
Now here's, and too, when you add, the bottom line of it is, we haven't been able to rebuild.
No.
Nowhere close. No. This economy is trashed.
No.
And it's because nobody in authority invoked God and His grace and repented.
No. And that's it. You know, people look, and this can be applied personally as well, but nationally, you look at, you know, people say, well, it's, you know, the problem is economy, the problem is military, the problem is this. No, it's not. The problem is spiritual is with God in America. Yeah. It's American God. That's it. If you don't get that right, and that's really exactly what Isaiah 9:10 is saying. They're saying, we'll do it by this, we'll do it by bricks, we'll do it by our power, we'll get back. But God is saying, no, if you don't get back with me, everything else is going to fall apart. And everything we've done backfires. You know, they say, you know, right after 9/11, they said, we're going to fight this economically. So they slashed all the interest rates. You know, that's what they did. Mm-hmm. So we're going to rebuild it. What happened is what they did is they ended up doing the Isaiah 9:10 principle says you do that, you try to fix your problem without God, it's going to cause the next problem. So what happened is they actually built up a balloon, a bubble that then came crashing down in 2008. I mean, the whole thing collapsed, what they said, which is what happened to Israel. They said, we're going to do it here, we're going to do it by our power, but without God, you're going to set in motion the very thing that's going to cause the next problem.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, trying to deal with a weed. And you cut off the top, that's not going to do it. You have to get the root. The root is with God, and that's true in our life too. You know, no matter the issue is with God. Get it right with God, the rest will follow. The rest will follow. But put God first, everything follows. Put everything else first, nothing follows. But this is the same exact thing that happened to Israel.
Someone, That's the reason these coming elections, and not just the presidential election, but everything that has anything to do with these coming elections. The governors, the senators, the House representatives, or out down to the justice of the peace. I mean, that somebody in official capacity repents.
Yes.
That's got to take place.
Yes. And I think there's a reason, you know, the Lord, one of the things since the Harbinger came out, the Lord keeps opening doors for me to go to Washington more than ever in my life, to go there again and again. Actually, the book actually opened up the doors for prayer in Washington. And there are people, I mean, actually, I think every member of Congress has received the Harbinger. And there are people in Congress who are godly people, but they're a remnant. They're not the president. I mean, they're not the ones in the, but they're there. Some of them are running for president and they know the Harbinger. And so that's what we're praying for. Because yes, you need to have a leader, a Josiah, mm-hmm. a leader mm-hmm. to speak in repentance for the nation before. And you know, that Josiah was one man, but he led the nation in
Absolutely.
Revival. And that's what we need.
Well, that's happened over and over again. One man.
One man.
And it looked impossible. But God used him in here, and here he comes.
Yeah.
And we're back there again. The only thing, the difference this time is the timing. All of these things that happened in the past were types and shadows and all pointing to right now. And everything that's happening now has to come to pass. Mm. Certain things, I mean, Putin is doing certain things that have to come to pass. Mm. And all this, prophecy. And here we are right in this little sliver of grace time, boom, right before this.
Yes.
And we're there.
Yes, yes.
It's time to pray and intercede, not just for the nation. And hear me about this, we're out of time, but I want to get this in there. As we pray, as God's people, intercede for the outpouring of God's glory. And it's here, but as we intercede for it, we pull on it. Our faith pulls on it. In doing that, we're actually praying for this nation and for this planet.
Yes.
We'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.